When you delight in the Lord, the desires of your heart are not wicked. The desires of your heart are regenerated to the point that you desire for what the Lord desires for. And when you desire for what the Lord desires for, that's when he'll give you the desires of your heart. Is everybody understanding me? I had to correct this type of thinking, type of behavior, because we'll just go out there and be saying, oh yeah, God will give me the desires of my heart, when really in reality, your heart is wicked. Your heart is evil. And God is not a promoter of sin. God is not a promoter of evil. Welcome to the podcast, the place where we want to make God known. Today, I want to speak to you guys from the subject, How to Discern the Voice of God, Part 2. The reason why it's Part 2 is because if you tuned in last week, I talked about how to hear the voice of God. And so, if you haven't had the chance to check out that episode, I highly encourage for you to pause this podcast and then go back to the first part, because that lays down some foundational ground for this podcast. And so I encourage you to do that. But today I want to equip you on how to discern the voice of God. And I want to expound a little bit more from last week's podcast. Before we get into what I would call indicators, or maybe check boxes on how to discern the voice of God, I want to lay down a foundational principle. And also correct a lot of people's theology when it comes to this verse in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. You probably have been in church a long time enough to hear this verse. If you haven't heard this verse, pardon me, but you probably have said it. You probably have mentioned it. You probably heard it from someone else, but it's this: God will give you the desires of your heart. Have you heard it? Have you said it before? Probably have, right? And if you haven't, don't worry about it. Let me explain. God will give you the desires of your heart. Wow, you know what? I just feel the need to sip my coffee and spill the tea, because I'm about to get... All right. I want to correct some things. First and foremost, I'm going to lay down three ideas for you. Number one, when it comes to Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. The Bible says to us that our heart is wicked above all else. The world is a reflection of the wicked heart that human beings have as a result of the fall in Genesis chapter 3, because of sin. That's number one. Number two, and this is critical. Why would God give you the desires of your wicked heart? Doesn't the scripture say that God is not a promoter of evil? Doesn't the scripture say that God is never changing and doesn't ever cast a shifting shadow? In other words, he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forevermore. God will never, he'll probably give us up to the desires of our sinful and wicked heart, which is what Romans chapter 1 says, that he'll give us up to the shameful things that we've conjured up in our hearts, that we thought of, our actions, so on and so forth. But God is not a promoter of giving us the desires of our wicked heart. He's not about that. Number three, and here's hope. Because you and I are Christians, in other words, we are born again from the Spirit. We are born again from above, from God himself, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, which means this: you've been given a new spirit, as Jeremiah would say, or maybe a new heart, a heart of flesh. Paul would say you are a new creation, to put off the old self and put on the new, right? So your status before God is that you are a new creation. That is That is your status. That is your position before God, that you are in right standing with him, that you are regenerated, you are born again, that you are a child of God. Okay. But our lifestyle is being continually being cleansed by the Holy Spirit. So on one end, our status is right and we are pure before the Lord. And then on the other end, which are not mutually exclusive, but on the other end, our soul, which consists of our mind, our will, and emotions, is being renewed, it's being cleansed so it could catch up to the status that we have in God in our spirit. In other words, being new creation, given a new heart, and so on and so forth. So because we are being cleansed and we are being made new, here's one of the foundational principles of that, or one of the signs of us being regenerated, that our desires become what the Lord desires for. Why do I bring this up? Because Psalms chapter 37, verse 4 is a widely known verse, but people only say the front end of the verse. God will give you the desires of your heart. But a lot of people miss what the verse says before that. Delight in the Lord. You can only delight in the Lord when you've been born again in the Spirit. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The first comes, and then the second as a result. When you delight in the Lord, the desires of your heart are not wicked. The desires of your heart are regenerated to the point that you desire for what the Lord desires for. And when you desire for what the Lord desires for, that's when he'll give you the desires of your heart. Is everybody understanding me? I had to correct this type of thinking, type of behavior, because we'll just go out there and be saying, oh yeah, God will give me the desires of my heart, when really in reality, your heart is wicked. Your heart is evil. And God is not a promoter of sin. God is not a promoter of evil. He doesn't want to do that. But he'll give you the desires of your heart when your heart is aligned with what his heart desires for. I need someone to cut that clip, send it to someone else, and just wreck people, because it's true. You and I need to know this. Okay, Sam, how does this apply to hearing the voice of God? Well, it applies to hearing the voice of God because when you desire for what God desires for, the clearer his voice becomes. You could cut all through the, excuse my language, crap of the wickedness of our heart and what it tries to communicate to us, because you are more in line with his desires more than your selfish, wicked heart. That's important. And that's why it's so foundational. The more aligned you are with delighting yourself in the Lord and your desires becoming his desires, the more clearer his voice gets. Okay? So now, let's talk about the seven indicators on how to discern the voice of God after laying down that foundational principle. Number one, there is an alignment with the morals of Scripture, or people like to say the morale of Scripture. There is an alignment with the morals of Scripture. What am I talking about when I'm talking about the morals of Scripture? I'm talking about the principles of what is right and wrong. And who is the standard for what is right and wrong? God. I'm about to go sideways right now, but I'm going to come back to it. The moment you and I become definers of what is right and wrong, is the moment we live in a perverted mindset and in a perverted lifestyle. You don't need to look too far to see how perverted the world is. The reason why it's perverted And the reason why it has also perverted lifestyle is simply because we have totally opted out for God to be the definer and the standard of what is right and wrong, and we have put ourselves in his place. And that's where you see disaster, that's where you see anarchy, that's where you see pervertedness, that's where you see so much. And so the standard, the principle of what is right and wrong is solely connected to who God is. He is the one that sets the standard of what is right and wrong. Why do I say this? Bringing it back. If you hear a voice or you have an idea that says go steal, you should be the one who knows the moral of Scripture to discern well enough to say that contradicts the moral of Scripture. God says, do not steal. Therefore, when I have this thought, it's not God speaking to me. Why? Because it contradicts the morale of God's character, the morale of Scripture. And so, here's the encouragement. Study and know the character of God, the word of God, which is where you could study the character of God, and the more likely you are to discern God's voice, because his voice will never contradict his morals, ever. Indicator number two on how to discern the voice of God: godly motivations and ungodly motivations. I want you and I to catch this. When God speaks to us, the why behind what he says is always purely motivated. Always purely motivated. I love James chapter 4, verse 3. It says this, and even when you ask and you don't get it, because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you, catch that, you want only what will give you pleasure. That's the NLT version. When God speaks to you, it's never selfishly motivated. It's always selfless. Let me give you an example. God says, serve. He says that to you. Or maybe you have an idea, you have a thought that says for you to serve that person, whatever circumstance that they're in. Listen to me. If your motivation behind serving is just to get recognized and to get puffed up and for everybody else to see you, that ain't God speaking to you. It ain't. But if you have a thought that says, go serve that person, and not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing, in other words, you're doing it without anybody looking, you're doing it because it's selfless, because you're doing it because God told you to, is probably God speaking to you. Now, with that being said, what you hear from God, if it's selfishly motivated, God will always get you to the place where he purifies those motives so that what you do is not selfish, but what you do is selfless. So what you need to ask yourself is what Psalms chapter 26, verse 2 says, what Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 to 24 says. In essence, they're saying the same thing. Search my heart. Check my motives. Lord, pray that. Literally pray that to God. When you have a thought, I want you to pray this. Lord, what's my motive behind this? Search my motive behind this. If the motive is selfish, may not even step forward in doing it or saying it. But Lord, if the motive is selfless, may I move forward to obey your voice and do it. If it's not, Lord, thirdly, purify my motives if they're selfish. Pray in that moment. Literally pray in that moment. Lord, purify my motives. If it's selfish right now, purify them and make them selfless. And then when God purifies those motives, you can move forward to do it onto the Lord and not onto yourself or onto man. You're also going to see a theme in all these indicators. They all start with the letter M. They all start with the letter R. Okay, third indicator, it's to minister to others. Sorry to interrupt this podcast, but I have an announcement. Are you ready to take your faith to the next level? Join my Patreon, Make God Known Insider. You'll have access to my soon-to-be-released podcast conversations featuring insightful discussions with guest speakers on relevant topics. My live Q&A sessions where you get to ask questions and get personalized answers from our guests. And lastly, access to monthly classes to deepen your faith. With Make God Known Insider, you'll be part of a community of like-minded individuals who are passionate about knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Join today and start your journey towards a deeper, more meaningful relationship with God. Sign up now and become a Make God Known Insider Patreon. Check out the description down below. The word minister literally just means to serve. That's all it that means. When you want to discern how to hear God's voice, it's always going to come from the place of serving others and never about self-serving. When God speaks, it's never just about you. It's about serving others. One of my favorite passages is in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others and give himself as a ransom for many. See, God's voice will always involve serving others. It's never selfish. Indicator number four, it multiplies you and others positively. It multiplies you and others positively. What do I mean when I say that? What God says to you will enhance you and others around you for the better. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. God says to Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing unto others. When you want to know how to discern God's voice, it always comes, and you got to check this box off. It will multiply, it will enhance me and others around me positively. That's what it will do. It will make you and others around you better. How do I define better? To look more like Christ. That's always the better. Indicator number five, it magnifies God. God's voice will always magnify God and not you. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, in other words, whatever else that you do, do it all for the glory of God. How do I discern the voice of God? One of the boxes to check off is, does it magnify the Lord? Does it exalt the Lord or does it exalt me? If it exalts me and lifts me up, you're probably not hearing from the voice of God. But if it magnifies him, it glorifies him, then that's how you know God is speaking to you. Indicator number six, does it move you closer to Jesus and looking like him? Whenever you have that thought, whenever you have that idea, does it move you closer to Jesus and looking more like him? God's voice will always bring you closer to Jesus and make you look more like him. Isn't that the whole existence of a Christian, to look more like Jesus? Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. See, we are meant to become more like Jesus. So how do you discern the voice of God? One of the boxes to check off is, does this move me closer to Jesus and looking more like him? If it doesn't, it's most likely not God speaking to you. Indicator number seven and the last one. I like to call this God matches. God matches. The definition of the word match in the verb tense is a person or thing that resembles or corresponds to one another or put together with someone or something that's appropriately harmonious. I love that God does these divine matches to confirm his voice. An example is when God spoke to Mary about having Jesus. And who else did he go to? He went to Joseph and matched what God said to Mary to what God said to Joseph, and Joseph confirmed with Mary that this was of God. I love that, because in our lives, we're going to have these God matches. We're going to have people, someone that corresponds to us. We're going to have someone that's harmonious to us, that are connected to us, because when God speaks to you, he also speaks to someone who's close to you, or maybe someone who is not part of your life, but God has sent them over to your life. So here's an application. Who's a God-fearing person in your life that could confirm what God has said to you? God matches. God matches. And so those are the seven indicators or check boxes on how to discern the voice of God. Number one, morale or morals. Number two, the motivations. Number three, to minister, in other words, serve. Number four, to multiply. Number five, to magnify. Number six, to move you. And then number seven, match you. God matches. I encourage you, and this is really a call to action, I encourage you to read the Word of God. There is no better way than to know God's character and know God's voice than to read the Word of God. And so if you haven't disciplined yourself as a disciple to read God's Word, I encourage you, figure out whatever is preventing you, whatever is causing a barrier from you reading the Word of God as a Christian, and get down to it. Because if you want to hear and discern the voice of God clearly, the Word of God is essential. It's a must. It's a non-negotiable. And number two, I want you to bring godly people into this process of hearing the voice of God. There's, again, these God matches in your life. It could be a mentor, a friend, someone in your life that could help you through this process of discerning the voice of God. And as you continue to be with that person and practice with that person, the clearer the voice of God will become in your life. If this gave you any value, I encourage you to subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you are on any of our audio platforms, on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, I want you to follow the podcast. Leave me a review also down there as well. And I want you to like, I want you to share, I want you to comment. I want us to engage with one another on these podcasts, because it will help me tremendously to get feedback and to also know how I'm doing and if I'm also giving you value. And so, like I say each and every single week, I want you to know God and make God known. Ciao, guys.